Prati našo da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Luci, prva glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Luci, prva glava.
Somewhat of a lengthy chapter that I would like to read, but if you'll bear with me, I believe in it's as important to read God's word as anything. This is why we have gathered. So I'd like to begin reading with verse 5.
Početak čitanja na petom stihu, peti stih.
There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, as while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before you in the spirit of power of Elisha, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent unto God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art almighty, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God among nothing is impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shewed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shewed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto them, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, and he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child this is, shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the Highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his shewing unto Israel. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer. This chapter which we read is one that probably not read very often. One thing about what was read here is concerning the birth of these two individuals, which is John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Every one of the Gospels writes about John the Baptist, but none of them wrote in detail like the physician Luke did here in this chapter, and how the birth came about, how the angel came and spoke to him and revealed this to him, and how he was given this instruction what to do. And so when we read many of Luke's writings, he usually is more precise, if you will, more detailed, if you will, in the things that he writes about. And so as we read about this here, we're talking about two people, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary, the three people that was involved in this reading. Zacharias and Elizabeth was, as it mentions here, were upright, good, if you will, Christian, Christ-fearing, God-loving people. It says they were righteous in the sight of God. And to me, that says a lot, because I believe that this day and age, it's probably a little more difficult to be this one as the scriptures claim here, that they was righteous in the sight of God, because of knowing the frailties of man in this day and age, in fact, in my own life, that I don't feel that I was could be compared to the righteousness of Zacharias. But nevertheless, he was a man of God. He had this responsibility to burn the incense, as it says here. But while he was there, this Gabriel comes and announces the birth of a son, which kind of surprised John, or Zacharias, because he was old man already. He even said to the angel, "How can this be with an old, we're in our later years, if you will." Now, the scripture don't reveal how old they were, but they were beyond childbearing age, if you will. And even Elizabeth couldn't understand this. But nevertheless, they were so in tuned and righteous in the sight of God that they had no trouble believing this. But because he questioned it, the Gabriel said to him, "You will not be able to speak until this comes about." And I find that interesting, because when he spoke to Mary, it says that several months went by, and he came to Mary, and he said, announced that there's going to be, she's going to be pregnant, she's going to have a baby, they're going to call his name Jesus. And she accepted this as, "Be it unto thy handmaid as thou wilt." She was kind of surprised, because she said, "How can this be when I don't know a man? I've never known a man." She was a virgin. And yet he assured her that this was going to be of the Holy Ghost that will come upon her, and she will be with child. So between the two, Zechariah and Mary, it's interesting the reaction that they both had to this angel Gabriel. However, I believe that when the Holy Ghost comes and speaks to you, it's a different concept, if you will. We don't have this, so to speak, if you will, angels comes to us and meets us and tells us certain things that God's going to do with us. But we do have the leading of the Holy Spirit, which was very much involved in both of the situations here. And I believe that's the key to what this scripture is all about. Because it mentions, for an example, in verse 15, it says, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now that's very profound. That's very unusual, if you will. Not everybody receives this, if you will, as a pronouncing that this is going to take place. And so you see, from the very beginning, God wanted to use him as what we call a Nazarite. A Nazarite is one that is devoted to serve the Lord and to do God's will. And so it mentions here that, like I said, it was mentioned in all of the scriptures, all of the Gospels, about John the Baptist and his responsibility. But because he was born with, if you will, the Holy Spirit, as the word brought to him and was announced this way, that the Holy Spirit was with him from the very beginning. That in itself means a lot, especially those of us that are converted. We know what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, directed and led. And to think that he went all through his life with this is even more amazing and more interesting. And so, as it says here, that he grew and he went in, but he went into the desert, and that's where he stayed. His food was locusts and wild honey, and he had goat skins for clothes. And I can only imagine what he must have looked like. Think of this. A Nazarite is never shaved. He's never given a haircut. So you can imagine what that must have looked like with this type of clothing. And yet, when he was given the responsibility to warn the people to confess their sins, to be baptized, and that the Lord is coming. And this was his sole responsibility, to announce to the children of Israel that the Lord is coming. And you got to understand something here. It's been 400 some years that none of the prophets and none of the of God's people were pronouncing and proclaiming the word of the Lord until John the Baptist comes along. And so this is kind of a awakening, if you will, to the children of Israel. And it says he went into the desert when he preached and said, "Repent and be baptized." They all came. It says even the Pharisees come to see what's going on in the desert. What's this man talking about? What's he mean? And he baptized them. They come confessing their sins, it says, and they were baptized. But he also at the same time announced to them, he's not the one. They thought that, oh, well, maybe this is Christ. They was expecting a Christ. They was expecting a Messiah to come. "Are you him?" He said, no, I'm not him. I'm only telling you he's coming. There's one among you that is, I ain't even worthy to unhook his shoes. This is his attitude and his feeling about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he was proclaiming this gospel message. And it's the same way today. The gospel message is being proclaimed throughout many places. The true gospel message is being, repent, be baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ, because he is coming again. And we need to realize that, and my friends outside of Christ, you need to understand that this is the day that has come for you to hear this once again, that the Lord is coming. And when he comes, he's not going to come as this babe, as we read about here. And you can read furthermore. We know how he came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger in a very lowly way. And when he comes back again the next time, he's going to come with power and strength. He's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all his holy angels with him. And when he gathers us all together, he's going to divide them, it says, the scripture. He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. The goats on one side and the sheep on the other. The sheep are going to be the ones that are saved. They're going to go to eternal life. The goats, they'll go to eternal condemnation. Which category do you or do I want to be in when the Lord comes again? We don't know when he's coming. Just like Israel didn't know he was coming in such a way as this was announced. We don't know when he's coming. Well, we do know he is coming because we have his word. We have been promised that. We read it many times, and we're told this, and we better believe it. He is coming back, and he's coming in power and in glory, all kind of strength. And he will divide the people one from another. He knows. He knows whose are his. He even says, "My children, my sheep know my voice." Do you and I know the voice of the Lord? Are we tuned close enough to the leading of this Holy Spirit like these two were, that the Spirit would guide us and direct us, and that we would be understanding the sound of his voice? The sound of his voice comes when you hear this word preached. When you hear songs, many ways it comes. The gospel message that Christ is coming can come in many different ways. But you and I have the responsibility to believe it no matter how it comes. Rest assured, it is coming. The key to it is, are you ready? Are you going to be ready? These people were not ready. That's why they went out to the desert to be baptized, to confess their sins. It's the same story today. Come to the Lord, confess your sins, and be baptized. And like John says, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming greater that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus Christ. And that's what his job was. And we are all baptized in his death and in the likeness. And then when we're baptized, we're also baptized with the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, to warn us that he is coming, to warn us that he is our God, to warn us that he is our Savior. Warn us, stay away from sin. All kind of warnings and all kind of things that you and I need to be tuned in to the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we can be well aware and be prepared in our lives for his second coming. And he's going to separate us one from another. I don't want to be around. I wouldn't want to be around to see that separation. Because I have some loved ones that are not ready as well. And to think that they're going to be separated from me forever. We're talking eternity. We're talking no end. No end. Heaven is no end. Hell is no end. Where do you want to go? The decision needs to be made. It's up to you. Do you want to hear this? Do you want to know it? Are you prepared? Are you ready to accept the Lord as it's being proclaimed? We need to ask these questions ourselves, whether we're converted or unconverted. We need to be ready at all times. That's what Christ said when you... And he gives us some signs. You can read in chapter 24 of St. Matthew. It gives us some signs there, the things that are going to happen when the end of the world comes. But then he says, Watch and pray. Watch and pray. This is the very thing that the Apostle Paul wrote many times. Watch and pray. You know what that means? That means just to be like the Boy Scouts model. Be prepared. Be prepared. And no one else can do that for you. No one else can stand in the gap for you. No one else is going to do it. You have to do it yourself. I have to do it for me. You have to do it for you. And the reason for that is because it's your own soul salvation that you're dealing with. Your own soul. Every one of us have a soul. We're born flesh and blood. When we die, the flesh and blood will deteriorate, but the soul will live on forever. Will it live in eternal condemnation, or will it live in eternal bliss? And only you can make that decision. God calls. It's his desire that none should perish. He gives us warnings all kinds of ways. Now the decision's up to you and to me. Do we want to yield? Do we want to be led by him? Do we want to be one of his children? And so this is what this whole story is all about. And this is when I like what Mary said when she found out. She said, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And then she goes on to write and say the things that God has done and will do. So she was that tuned in, she was that close, she was that committed, if you will, to serving the Lord, and even that day, to the point that she was selected to give birth to our Lord and Savior. And it says, blessed shall be, she be called among many women throughout ages to come. And that's even true today. So you see, even her, she wanted to glorify and magnify the Lord. She knew that this was something that was a privilege, if you will, something that was given to her that was a special thing. And so as a result of that, she never doubted, she never had fear. She goes to her cousin. It even says there when she went to her cousin Elizabeth, stayed there for 3 months, and they obviously talked about what this was all about, no doubt. And when she spoke to Elizabeth, it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So you see how the Holy Ghost had a very important play in all of this? This child was born with the Holy Spirit, something that you and I don't have today. And yet, when he was spoken about this good news, it says he leaped in the mother's womb. This was somewhat of a verification, if you will, for Elizabeth. When she heard this and this happened to the babe, and you know, Satan has his way of convincing us sometimes, doubt, questioning, wondering, is this really true? Is it going to happen? Is it going to be this way? And so we sometimes have doubts. And I don't doubt for a minute that Elizabeth somewhat had doubts. But when the babe leaped in her womb, don't you think that was some announcement or reinforcement? This is true. This is going to happen. This is very real. And so I believe that you and I need the same assurance sometimes that our salvation is sure, that our faith in Jesus Christ is true. And the only way that we can get, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And we hear the word, our faith is increased. And when our faith is increased, we can believe what the word says. And we can believe that he's coming. We can believe that he's our Savior. We can believe that he's the Son of God. All these things that we can believe because the Holy Spirit has revealed them unto us. Just as he revealed many things here to Mary, to Zacharias, and to Elizabeth. So dearly beloved, it is my prayer that each of us might be so tuned and so closely tuned to the Word of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit that we will be prepared, ready, and waiting for the Lord to come. We're about to celebrate Christmas when he was born in a manger. But we need to celebrate even more the fact that he's coming, and he's coming back for his very own. That's what we want to celebrate. That's what we're going to be glad and thankful for. And give us that hope and give us that expectation that one of these days we will go and be with him and live with him in eternity forever. Amen.
The message this morning has impressed upon my heart the importance of being prepared for the Lord's return and the critical place that believing God's word plays in being ready. You see, the announcement that Gabriel made to Zacharias and to Mary was one that was difficult to believe, and they both questioned, how is this going to come to pass? These aren't the sort of things that you would expect the way life normally goes. And Jesus also had a discussion as he reasoned with Nicodemus about the new birth, about the forgiveness of sins, about being cleansed. And he also asked the question, how can these things be? How important faith is in embracing the Word of God and receiving of his promises. We see what happened with Zacharias. Gabriel perceived that he did not believe his words and said that his mouth would be closed and not able to speak. But then a time came when he had to decide about the name of the child. And naming a child is significant. It can be like placing a mark of ownership on something when you name it. And Zacharias had to decide if he was going to believe that this was God's plan and God was doing this, or if this was all about him and if he would put his mark. He chose wisely and yielded to the instruction of God. Not my way, but God's way. Let his name be John. And in that faith, his tongue was loosed. And an amazing thing happened. He joined the small circle of Mary and Elizabeth, of those who had a testimony of the great things God has done. That is what faith can do. And it is a good day for my friend, for you, to hear the word preached again of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and that the door is still open to walk in by faith. May the words of Jesus ring in your ears as you look at that invitation and perceive the obstacles in your way. All things are possible to those who believe. May God bless his word. Amen.